This is Pastor Mike, and I want to welcome you to CD 6, entitled The Final Conflict. The Bible is very clear about the last days and the battle of Armageddon. Can I read to you from Revelation chapter 16, verses 12 through 16? Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its waters was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. God. Man. Isaiah chapter 2. And let's read verses 1 through 4. Let's read together. The Lord word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it, and many people shall come and say, come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Neither shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. I want to talk to you this morning about the final conflict. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. What an incredible journey we have taken together as we have walked through prophetic scripture as it pertains to the end times, or should I say, the days we are living in right now. Together we have discovered the rise of the Muslim faith, how it plays a major role in last day prophecy. We have tracked the progress of Israel as scripture has revealed to us a scattered and persecuted people coming back together from all four corners of the earth. We have stood in amazement as we have watched them defend an area the size of Rhode Island from the most powerful nations in the world. We are more conscious than ever before the importance that oil will play in this last day melodrama. With joy unspeakable, we have been lifted into realms of glory as we unfolded the mysteries of that great catching away of the saints called the rapture. Last week, we settled the issue of the Antichrist, his purpose, his personality, and his plan, understanding that we, the saints of God, will not be here when his identity becomes known to the world. That brings us to today's message, a message that settles once and for all the questions. When will this thing truly come to an end? Although the Bible declares that there will be wars and rumor of wars, which war will war, in fact, last forever? Will there ever be an extended time of peace when war will be no more? Can I tell you at the onset, there is coming a day when all accounts will be settled once and for all. A day when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will rise up as commander-in-chief of the greatest army this world has ever seen. And all his foes will be destroyed. And the kingdom of our God will be established upon the earth, and time and war will be no more. Can I get a praise from some believer in this house this morning? Come on, give God praise for that. As we have read, the writer of Revelations declares that this final conflict, the war to end all wars, will take place in an area called Armageddon. I have some pictures that I wanted to put on the screen for you that will show you that Armageddon is in fact a real place. It does exist. It is called the Valley of Megiddo, or the Valley of Jezreel. It was September the 2nd, 1945, when a great general by the name of Douglas MacArthur stood tall on the deck of the USS Missouri. It was in Tokyo Harbor, and he uttered a profound warning. This is what he said. "We have had our last chance. If we do not now devise some greater and more equitable system, Armageddon will be at our door." Shortly after, Ronald Reagan became the 40th president of the United States. Realizing the intractable problems facing the Middle East, he wrote in his diary these alarming words, and I quote, "Sometimes I wonder if we are destined to witness Armageddon." 3 weeks later, on Sunday, June the 7th, he received news that Israel had bombed the Iraqi nuclear reactor. That afternoon, President Reagan wrote in his diary again, "Got word of Israel bombing of Iraq. I swear I believe Armageddon is near." You see, there is something about the word Armageddon that chills the soul to the bone. I am sure that the numbers are few who are not familiar with the word and what it implies. I am sure that it is because in our short lifetime, we have witnessed the advent of modern weaponry, its power and destructive capacity. With our own eyes, we see the international tensions mounting to the breaking point. We know that with the push of a single button, nuclear war could lead our nation and our world to complete annihilation. Let's face it, folks. We in America are no stranger to war. The United States has been involved in 29 wars or military conflicts. That averages out to one war for every 8 years of American history. Approximately 1,314,971 troops have died for their country in these wars. In the last century, 400,000 died in World War II, 58,000 plus in Vietnam, 5,000 and still counting in our current conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan. I don't know about you, but I am sick of war. I'm ready for it to be over. I'm ready for our boys and our daughters to come home, a place where we can live in peace with all men. But sadly, the Bible reveals that there is yet to be another war fought on this earth. This war, called Armageddon, will make all wars past and present to look like minor skirmishes. This war will in fact draw the final curtain on modern civilization as we know it. Hear me. The only thing holding back this war is the rapid approaching, yet to occur, vanishing of all true believers in Jesus Christ, the event we have identified as the rapture of the church. You see, the word of God is clear in the 12th chapter of Revelation that with the vanishing of the saints, that Satan will begin to implement his plan of world rule. that halfway through the tribulation period, and we talked about this last week, a seven-year event, that an unholy trinity will occur between Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. They will be committed to the destruction of Israel. And as they gather their forces together to accomplish this task, it will propel the entire world toward this final battle called Armageddon. The Bible identifies the location of this battle. As you can see by the pictures presented here today, Armageddon is a real place. I actually stood on Mount Tabor and looked down into the valley of Megiddo. I know the word Armageddon has been the rallying cry for every kind of doomsday scenario. But hear me when I tell you, Armageddon is not only the name of a battle, but it is a real place. What is amazing is that this great battle of Armageddon is only mentioned one time in Scripture. And we read it together. The Hebrew word Armageddon means the Mount of Megiddo. It is an actual geographical location found in northern Israel. Megiddo is about 18 miles southeast of Haifa, a port town on the Mediterranean Sea. It is 55 miles north of Jerusalem. It is less than 10 miles from the childhood home of Jesus, Nazareth. What a great history this area called Megiddo possesses. For you see, it was at Megiddo that Deborah and Barak defeated the Canaanites. It was there that Gideon defeated the Midianites with just 300 men. Remember that story. It was there that Saul committed suicide during his final war with the Philistines. You see, throughout the centuries, a succession of wars have been fought on this very ground. Great armies like the Crusaders, the Egyptians, the Persians, the Druze, the Turks, and the Arabs have all shed blood on this very site. According to Bible scholars, over 200 battles have been fought at or near this location. No wonder Megiddo means the Mount of Slaughter. Why Megiddo? Why has this final place been chosen as the location for the world's final conflict? One of the greatest military minds of all time gave us the answer. In 1799, Napoleon stood on Mount Megiddo before the battle that ended his conquest of the Middle East and declared, "All the armies of the world could maneuver their forces in this vast plain. There is no place in the whole world more suited for war than this. It is the most natural battleground on the whole earth." End of quote. Although the battle will begin there, Scripture is clear to point out that it will spread over the entire country of Israel. For you see, it is Jerusalem, 55 miles to the south, that is the ultimate conquest of the Antichrist. The Bible says that this staggering war will be so horrific that blood will flow in staggering torrents. Revelations 14 describes that blood will flow as deep as the horse's bridle for 1,600 furlongs. Translated in today's vernacular, that is blood flowing nearly 5 feet deep for over 200 miles. What is ironic, that is the distance from the northern tip of Israel to the south. Did you hear what I said? Pastor, how is that possible? I want you to consider the millions of soldiers that will fight in this battle, not including civilians. The great historian Josephus wrote of a time when the Roman hordes invaded the land of Israel, that the blood ran so deep that it literally quenched the fires of many houses as it ran through the streets. I declare to you this morning that if the Word of God says it, that's exactly how it will be. There are three reasons for this battle to take place. First of all, because Israel has rejected God and the Messiah time and time again, God will allow this battle to take place to bring judgment upon them. It is no accident that the Bible refers to this future event as the time of Jacob's trouble. Secondly, it is also God's way of finalizing His judgment upon the nations who have persecuted Israel. Understand something. Although the heart of God has been broken by the rejection of His people, He still loves them. And He will punish all who will punish them, even though He allows it. And finally, it is God's time to formally judge all the nations of the earth who have rejected Him. Hear me when I tell you, right now we are living in a time of extreme grace. God has been so merciful and so forbearing. I never cease to be amazed at His amazing grace. But you better hear this, preacher. A day is coming when this merciful God will declare enough is enough, and His wrath will be poured out like a consuming fire on all those who have ignored or refused His mercy. And what is even more amazing, Revelation 16 declares that when this judgment is being poured out, that the recipients of His wrath will not even repent. But they will curse and blaspheme His holy name. My God, the power of unrepentant sin. Pastor, who will be the participants in this battle? Remember, a deal will be struck between the Antichrist and the Jews. He will guarantee them peace for 7 years. At this point, Israel will be so desperate for a peace treaty, they will accept His offer, even though it has time limits. Now understand that the Antichrist has brought together many nations of the world into a one world government. We've been watching this take place for years. And once He enters into this treaty with Israel, He will begin to reveal His powers by performing amazing signs and wonders. We read the scripture. He will so astonish His constituents that they will begin to worship Him as God. As I shared with you last week, He will ultimately require them, whether they want to or not, to bow down and worship Him as God. He will accelerate from a European leader to a world leader. There will be some who will attempt to rise up against Him, Russia being one. This story is recorded in Daniel chapter 11. But the Bible says that He will crush them and they will retreat until the final conflict, at which time they will rejoin with the Antichrist at the Battle of Armageddon. Now watch this. Because this isn't an amazing prophecy, according to Scripture, when the armies begin to gather in the Valley of Megiddo for this final conflict, most of the armies will come from the east. They will actually march through Muslim countries to get into Israel. But right now, there is one major obstacle. It is called the River Euphrates. It is one of the greatest rivers in the world. It flows from the mountains of western Turkey through Syria and continues through the heart of Iraq, not far from Baghdad. It eventually unites with the Tigris River and finally empties into the Persian Gulf. You see, according to the promise given by Abraham, this river is the easternmost border of the promised land. It serves as border and barrier between Israel and her enemies. As I described to you last week, they have yet to occupy this territory. Now watch this. According to Scripture, before this final battle, this great river will dry up in order that the armies of Israel will have easy access, the armies of the east will have easy access into the land of Israel. But how can this happen, Pastor Mike? Well, we all know that with God, all things are possible. But in 1990, while the country of Turkey was building a dam, they literally stopped the flow of water in the Euphrates and it dried up. Brothers and sisters, if it happened once, it can happen again with or without the intervention of God. This is incredible. Listen to this. Just how large will this army be? Listen to what John tells us in Revelation chapter 9. He said the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them, John said. Is an army that size possible, Pastor Mike? Well, according to Dr. Larry Wurzel, a retired U.S. Army colonel and leading authority on China, as early as 1998, Dr. Wurzel filed the following report. China's standing armed force of some 2.8 million active soldiers in uniform is the largest military force in the world. Brothers and sisters, with a population of 1.2 billion people, China has the potential right now to assemble another 200 million males fit for military service. We're not talking about the future. We're talking about right now. Hear me when I tell you, when all these forces converge on the Valley of Megiddo, Armageddon will truly be a battle of heaven and earth and hell. But now, I'm getting to the good part. As this massive army enters the field of conflict, if you are a follower of Christ, what happens next may cause you to jump to your feet and shout for joy. For the writer of Revelations declares that he saw the heavens open. And behold, there was a white horse. And the man who sat on that horse was called faithful and true. That he in fact had come to make war and to judge. John said his eyes looked like fire. He had many crowns on his head. He was dressed in a robe that was dipped in his own blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Oh, hallelujah. And following close behind him were the armies of heaven. That's us. They were clothed in white linen, fine and clean. And they were riding white horses just like him. And then the Bible says, suddenly out of his mouth went a sharp sword. And it struck the nations that finally the fierce wrath of Almighty God was released upon Satan and all of his followers. Watch this. And on his robe and on his thigh was written a name, King of Kings. And Lord, Lord of Lords, declare to you, He is coming back. Hallelujah. Zechariah said, I saw the Lord coming and all His saints with Him. Paul the apostle said, I saw Him too with all of His saints. Jude, a follower of Christ, wrote, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s and thousands of His saints. And not only are we coming with Him, but Matthew and Paul both tell us that all His angels are coming with Him. It will be a force like you have never seen before. And John wrote in his book, I saw these angels in a vision, and there were thousands and millions as far as the eye can see and the mind can imagine. We will be with the army of the Most High God, and He will be victorious. Hallelujah. My question has always been, in reading last day's prophecy, is where is America in all of this? Why is there no mention of the nations who are allies with Israel coming to the rescue? That's a good question. And if you're here next week, I'm going to address it. But right now, as in the Yom Kippur War of 1973, Israel will have no allies coming to her aid. Not even reluctant ones. But glory be to God, with an army that God is bringing, she won't need any. For when King Jesus steps on the scene, when the smoke has settled and the dead have been consumed by the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field, the Bible declares that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ, He is the Lord. Hallelujah. And I love what the song says. And when the battle's over, we, who's we, Pastor Mike? The redeemed of the Lord. Those who love Him, those who have believed, those who have confessed their sins, who have chosen to follow Jesus, as the song says. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem, and forever we shall be with the Lord. Somebody give Him a praise. If you noticed in the scripture, the Bible says nothing about us wielding a sword, carrying a shield, firing a weapon. Just the sharp sword of the Lord that comes out of His mouth will destroy all of His enemies. The only reason for this great host is just to create panic in the hearts of the enemy. Oh, I want to tell you, I have no fear and I have no dread of that great day called Armageddon. For Jesus Christ, once and for all, would declare that He is King of all this world. And as the song we sing this morning, all kingdoms will fall before Him. They will declare that He is God, to the glory and the honor of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad you're saved this morning? Aren't you glad you're ready to go in the rapture? If Jesus should come today, you'd be ready to go. I'm glad I'm ready. I said, I'm glad I'm ready. Will you stand with me, please? Father, what an awesome God you are. I can't even begin to tell you. Words do not permit me to vocalize the greatness of your power and your authority, your kingdom. God, we declare this morning that we do not walk in fear or dread. We are not as those who have no hope, for you have given us a promise. You have given us an assurance that we will be safe and secure. Oh God, thank you for saving us. Thank you for giving your life for us. Thank you for making a way of escape from the horrible atrocities that shall come up on this earth. We thank you, Lord, for salvation. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. God, I pray if there be one person in this house this morning who doesn't know the Lord, who have never invited him into their heart, that today will be the day of salvation for them. That with a contrite heart and a broken spirit, they will come to Jesus and find forgiveness. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for doing your work even now of speaking to those hearts. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, is it possible that there's one person in the house this morning, say, Pastor Mike, I'm not absolutely 100% sure that if Jesus came today, I'd be ready to go. I want to ask Jesus to come into my heart and forgive me. If that's you, just raise your hand and I'm going to pray for you right now. Yes, I see it. Yes. Anyone else? Just put it up and put it down.